Good morning. Sandra just said to me it's my job to bring us back to being serious. If anyone knows me, I'm not really very good at that. Anyway, I'm Alison Hopkinson, married to the long-suffering Peter Hopkinson. And about 10 weeks ago, I had the absolute joy of becoming a nana, and he became a grandpa to baby George. My little girl gave birth to a little boy called baby George, which is great. But unfortunately, he has a serious issue. He hates sleeping. And the reason why he hates sleeping is because he has a very serious case of FOMO, fear of missing out. And I've got a little video just to show you what I mean here. By the way, there's about four or five photos of baby G. I'm using the opportunity to show off my grandson. But here, oh, am I clicking or are you? So that's what inspired my talk today, fear of missing out, baby G's inability to go to sleep. So what is FOMO? What is fear of missing out? Well, for me, baby G's got it, and he's probably caught it from me, because I can recognize in my life that I've had times where I've had a fear of missing out. There's times when you're wondering whether you've made the right decision, whether are you doing the right thing or not. I'm terribly competitive, in case you didn't notice there when I was playing the game. I think it's because I'm a twin sister, and we've been vying for your parents' attention. So I'm terribly competitive, and I think that's given me quite a serious case of FOMO. But in my talk today, you might not have such an issue with this, but I hope something in my talk will help resonate with you and move you just a little bit further along in your journey to loving God. I'm going to talk about, in my talk, what is FOMO? What does it mean? And ask you to reflect on where you might have FOMO in your life. I'm going to talk about, well, what's the impact of FOMO? What's the impact? Why do we care about it? And then I'm going to talk about, how do we smash it on the head? How do we cure it? So what is FOMO? For me, you might have your own definition, but for me, it's about the feeling that you may have missed out. There's something better around the corner, that your feet are in the wishing well, that you really wish that you'd made a better decision, or you really wish that you'd thought about things a bit more and you're missing out on things. It could be huge. For example, it could be your career. Are you in the right career? Are you on the right career path? It could be about children. Oh my goodness, do I remember the agony of children choosing schools? The agony of, have you made the right decision? Are you going to make the right decision of schools for your children? It's really, really, really important. It could be about budgets. For example, we've been talking about giving recently. Are you making the right allocation? Are you giving to the right areas? And are you budgeting right? When you retire, like I've just done, do you go the YOLO, you only live once and have a ball, or do you save and scrimp to make sure you've got a desirable nursing home? You know, there's some absolutely massive decisions that you've got to make. And for me, the summary of what is FOMO is any area of your life where you're not at ease and you feel that you're looking for something better, which sometimes can be great and sometimes can be hindering. So if we look at what's the impact of FOMO, I think there's two things. Number one, I think it's ineffective decision making. And the second one is exhaustion and dissatisfaction. So with ineffective decision making, you can be on the spectrum. There's a spectrum, isn't there? There's the ponderous, never make a decision, have to think about all the consequences. I remember Pete's parents used to talk for about half an hour on how many pints of milk to order every day. It used to drive me nuts. Or it could be the other end of the spectrum where you make decisions without really thinking about it, without considering all the consequences. And I know that I'm definitely guilty of the latter, too much to Pete's consternation. Have you considered the implications of everything that you're doing? Sometimes it's worked well for me. So I was finance director of Dell Computer Corporation right at the beginning. And it was growing rapidly. We were moving into new countries, moving into new products. We were hiring staff left, right, and center. And we just had to make decisions. So my motto then was, all decisions are good. Some are better than others, but make a decision. And I used to have the motto JFDI. Those in corporate might know that that means for just flipping do it. Well, almost means that. So JFDI, just do it, which has worked well for me at Dell. But it doesn't work well for me and other big decisions I've had to make in my life where I've not considered the consequences. So, for example, Pete and I, it was before our Christian days, okay, but Pete and I were living together on our first date. So I decided he was the right man for me on the first date. Fortunately, that was a good decision. But on bad decisions, so, for example, I was working as finance director of Tier Fund, which was a lovely Christian organization, and I knew like I knew like I knew that was the right place for me. God had put me there. I knew. But then I was offered the finance director, CFO of Oxfam, and I was dazzled by the bright lights of Oxfam. But that was the most stressful 5 years of my life. And in retrospect, it wasn't the right place for me. And here I just want to pause and thank Alistair and Anne, because you kept me going. They prayed for me every time I came. They recognized my stress levels, and you were absolutely amazing, Alistair and Anne. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, round of applause for Alistair and Anne. I don't know if you even remember those days, but oh, it was so, so important to me. So sometimes when the consequences of decisions are big, then you've really got to not do it in your own strength. But I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't really think about the consequences of that job. But the other implication of FOMO is exhaustion and dissatisfaction. So we end up in a world of comparisons, in a world of urgency, in a world of upgrades. We're looking for the upgrade to our phone. We're looking for the upgrade to our PC, the flights, the holidays. We're always looking for the next upgrade. For Pete, it's robots. For those of you who know Pete, he's a complete geek, and he loves robots. And we've got a robot to mop the floor. We've got a robot to hoover the floor. We've got one to cut the grass. And it seems to me like he spends hours and hours choosing and then making the decision which to buy, and we buy it. Then weeks later, the technology's been upgraded, and he's starting to warm the grounds for me for another purchasing decision. So we're looking for the next upgrade. But that can lead to busyness. We're just doing too much, and we can feel empty, anxious, and dissatisfied. In the words of Mick Jagger, does anyone recognise that? I can't get no satisfaction. So FOMO tells us to run harder, run faster, keep going. But it can lead to absolute exhaustion and dissatisfaction. So what can we do about it? How do we smash FOMO on the head? Do you know what? It's so obvious, isn't it? I mean, we said it, we saw it with the children's talk. We've just got to involve God in our decisions, in our planning. So why don't we? We know it. We know when it comes to big, important decisions, or even the small ones, that we've got to involve God. Why don't we? Why didn't I involve God in my decision to move to Oxfam? I think we think we know better. We think we don't need God. My will, not yours, be done. I think there's an element of disillusionment. We've tried and tried and we don't hear from him. So what's the point? I think there might be an element of disbelief. We don't believe that God wants to answer our questions. There could be an element of God doesn't care. The decision is not important to him, so let's not pray about it. I don't know, you might have your own reasons as to why we forget and don't involve God in our decision making. But I'm reading absolutely brilliant, brilliant book at the moment, which I highly recommend to you, by Tyler Statton, which is called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. And he says, God has the best plans for us and leads us to the best decisions. But we miss out because we don't ask Jesus and we don't align ourselves with God's plans for us. We've stopped listening. He says, God, and I love this, he says, God longs to speak to us, longs to bless us far more than we believe he can. He really wants to speak to you more than you want to hear him. He wants to speak to me more than I want to hear him. And we don't miss out because God withdraws. We miss out because we don't ask, we don't seek, we don't align ourselves with his plans. It's really simple, isn't it? But we don't do it. And it's tough. It's tough. I just want to go back one, actually. Just God's microphone. God really is on megaphone wanting to speak to us. And he wants us to draw near. Do you like that photo? He wants us to draw near. He wants us to be in his arms. Loads of places in the Bible it gives us opportunities to really reflect upon this. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can all imagine in Ephesians and in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, gives him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? God really, really wants to help us. But it's not easy. And this book, in the very first chapter, says what you've got to do is practice. Keep going. Develop a routine. Make it one of your holy habits and just keep practicing listening to God. And that's what I've been, so I loved preparing for this talk because I've just been challenging myself to listen. And I think you can also ask your friends, those you trust, you can ask your home group. So one of the things we do in our home group is we have spotlights. So when you're at crossroads in your life, you ask your friends to pray for you and come to the home group. Say, what's God saying to you? So if you're feeling like God's not really talking to you, you can also ask your friends as well and listen to their judgment. So having spotlights is something I highly recommend. And I've also been on a couple of retreats when I'm at crossroads in my life, called Crossroads, actually. But I think what it is, it's about intentionality. Involving God in the big decisions and involving God in the small decisions. Having him involved in the decision making and remember that he really, really, really wants us to be close to him and aligning with his plans. So in summary, it's we ask, ask God boldly, like we say in Matthew 7. Ask God boldly. Align your hearts with his, not my will be done, but yours. And abide. Pause, trust, and then listen. Ask, align, and abide. So as FOMO says, run faster, Jesus says, come closer to me. Come closer to me. Who likes that photograph? My daughter with baby G. Don't run, come closer. So hopefully you've got something out of that. Some of that will resonate with you. We're now going to have some prayer stations and some activity stations, but I'd just like to close in prayer before we move on to the next section. Lord, thank you that you never hold back. Forgive us for the times we forget you or run from you, believing we'll find somewhere else or something else, or forgetting that you have the best plans for us. Teach us to live differently, to seek, to ask, to align, to abide. Help us, Lord, to believe that you are enough, and in you we never miss the life we were made for. Help us to slow down and come closer to you. Amen.
I love that. Don't run faster, but come closer.